Hi everyone. Today we're going to talk about a topic that is challenging. And this video, this podcast, this, I don't know where you're watching or listening to this, but this, we're going to go for some 15 minutes to introduce a topic that is really part of our everyday life and very central to social and environmental change, to personal development. And this is the art of disidentifying. I call it like this, the art of disidentifying, an art, because there are a lot of things involved in that process. But first, I want to introduce a little bit the topic and why it is so important. And, you know, you're watching the news, you see everything that's going on, and the theme of identity is all over. And there are some concepts that are very important to clarify, to better navigate that theme of identity. So first, I will ask you to assume that the problem is the other. Yeah, let's assume it's not my fault. I'm doing everything right on whatever topic we're talking about. If we're talking about plastic, racial equality, or you know, organic foods, lifestyle, whatever. I'm doing everything right. The problem is the other. Yeah, I suggest we start there. I know this never happens to you. I know it only happens to me and others to think that the problem is the other. But please pretend. There's one fundamental aspect that is central to change and to how change is presented in society today. That is that when there is a social or environmental demand in the context of a campaign. So for instance, Greta Thunberg is at the UN and she's putting demands on the table, right? Or when a social movement of some of any kind is bringing up demands, right, for a change to happen structurally or culturally, those demands are intrinsically connected, linked to demands to disidentify. Okay, so I'll represent this like this. You'll see where this is going. So if this is a the demand side, so it's change now, okay, and it's shouted loud and amplified in the media and through culture that a group is demanding to another group to change, then what that means intrinsically is that this group is demanding as this other group, this other person, to disidentify from something that until today, this person has been forming an identity around, yes? So if you're driving a big car, a big 4x4 car that pollutes a lot, and someone's demanding you to change your car, or there's this kind of guilt building up in society, well, it's affecting your identity, yes? And so this demand to change is intrinsically linked. Going to make like chain linked here, chain links. Yes, you can see it. Yes, it's linked to a demand to disidentify. Okay, and I could stop here. I mean, this in itself is so important to integrate and to meditate on and to keep in mind that I could stop here. when we ask an institution or people working in an institution or the neighbor or anyone to change, we touch something that relates to identity. And we know how tricky that is, because then when we start to open the box of identity, now you start to recognize that identity is a slippery slope, right? And so the stronger the demand, the stronger is going to be the resistance to that demand. Yes, it's going to be a hang-on process. Like, so here, the person or institution or group you're asking to change is going to hang on to its identity, to this part of the identity that relates to the demand. And that can be unconscious, okay? The person might be willing to change, to be part of the good guys, to have solar panels on the roof, so whatever it is in that context, wants to change, but then there's this kind of denial coming in because this issue of identity is not being addressed. And so what that does is, so it triggers denial, and then there's this band-aid solution, or there's this acting of change, which is not really a fundamental rethinking of the way this person is living, for instance. It's not really changing the lifestyle, if we're talking about this, if we're talking about energy use or lifestyle habits. And so that triggers an acting, you could say. Oops, I'm going off frame here on the YouTube video. I'm going to write it here. Yes. So understanding that process already is huge, and then factoring in that process in your day-to-day communications, in your day-to-day life, basically, is even bigger, because a lot of people will agree with this, but then putting it into practice and really changing your approach requires disidentifying for that approach. And it's the same thing that's going on right now. Yeah. So we're going to go a little bit deeper, and I keep this at the teaser level, because in the context of our school curriculums at the Cosmic School, with groups and workshops and private groups, we go much deeper into those concepts. And not only understanding the theoretic part in depth, but also methodizing and developing tools that are really hands-on and that allows you to move forward every day with integrating all those points. And so if you're a communication officer, if you're an artist interested in impact, or an influencer of culture of some sort, those tools are really important today, because we're talking about a new era of change communications. Yeah. You know the pitch if you watch other content from Cosmic, but we really believe that there's this opportunity right now to embrace a new way of communicating on change by integrating all the things that we know from research, from psychology, from neurosciences, from linguistics, from the field of narratives, and move to a new era. And this process here is central, because as we will see a little bit later in this video, it directly connects to the process of induction. I'll leave it here for now. What we said is stronger demand triggers stronger response. So this hang on. And you remember we talked about polarization last week. And this is another example. So you can trigger an acting, or if this person does not want to change because it's strongly resisting this demand to disidentify from the way this person has been living his life, her life, it can trigger polarization that I always represent like this, right? Through cognitive dissonance and so on. And we know that polarization is all over right now, and that this is one of the main challenges we need to understand if we want less polarization as a society. And so now I'm going to zoom out a little bit and talk about identity. This sense of self. Yeah, I'm going to give a mainstream definition without going too deep, but it's probably, you know, made up of your beliefs, of attitudes, abilities, history, your ways of behaving, your personality, temperament, knowledge, opinions, and roles. At least the story of all this. Yeah, it's kind of your self definition. It's how you relate to the world outside, and it's that glue that holds together all of these diverse aspects of yourself. Okay, but what's very important to understand about identity, and this is where it's getting really interesting, is that number one. Identity is, it belongs to the imaginary register of the psyche, okay? So that's a little bit, I'm not going to get into too much details, but basically identity is imaginary, or it's subject to a conditioning, right? If I very strongly identify with that football team in that town where I'm born, yeah? Well, what would happen if I was born in another town? Well, I would probably identify with another football team, yeah? But wait a minute, maybe actually I'm born in that town, but I identify for some reason, for something that happened to my a friend, a family member, a culture, I identify with that other team that has nothing to do with my origins, yeah? So I can decide to identify with one thing or the other, yeah? And so that's why that's one aspect in which we can say it's imaginary, is because it's a story that I tell myself to be able to relate to the world. I kind of pick features for my life in a way, and sometimes consciously, sometimes not. It's like with fashion, for instance, I can say that, oh, this is the way I dress, and this is the kind of clothing that I like. I like wearing a cap and that kind of glasses, and this is my identity, right? So I decide this, but it's an imaginary, it's a story, okay? And that is very important to understand. Second, identity relates to the id. Identity, if I write identity here, it relates to the id. The id in psychoanalytic theory, if you know a little bit of Freud, and you know, it's the part of our psyche that's responsible for our most primitive impulses and drives. It's that it's the impulsive side of human behavior. You know, so you can think of the toilet paper rush when they announce a new confinement. Well, it's driven by the id. It's that instinct, instinctive part that is probably not a very good idea to rely on or to free will with if, you know, if we want to be resilient, if we want to grow. I'll get into this a little bit, but you can think of idol, or idiot has the same prefix here. So etymologically, we can see this very clearly, that identity is something that belongs to the id, to this impulsive side of human behavior. And by submitting to the id, so if identity is what really rules your life, and it's everything that I care about is my identity, and I go and densify that feature, well, I'm submitting to the id. Okay, so it's not necessarily a good thing, but why do we think that people with a very strong identity are very desirable? And that's the third point here. Third point is, it's triggered by a cultural dimension, that the successful people they have a very strong identity. That's what we deduct from the cultural environment. Oh, this guy is so real. Oh, she's so real. He's so real. Like, it's so it feels like it is desirable to have a very strong identity, or it's morally right. And this is triggered by culture. But there's also a lot of confusion on this, because there's confusion with authenticity, for instance, or with charisma. And so those are concepts also that we can dive deeper into later on. But I will write here that there's a cultural dimension to this this thirst for identity, for more identity, and it became a desirable thing with the rise of nationalism, for instance. You can think about that. And so and then four, I don't know if I'm going out of frame here, I can do four. There's confusion, because we tend to think that it's like authenticity and identity has nothing to do with authenticity. It's not because you don't develop a very strong identity that you don't value cultural heritage, for instance. And then there's this charisma dimension that we can talk about. But basically, those are four pillars that I think are important to remember when we talk about identity. It's imaginary. It belongs to the imaginary register of the psyche. It relates to the id, okay, to the impulsive side of human behavior. Like in idol or idiot, and it's triggered by a cultural this desire for cultural for more identity, for a stronger identity, is triggered by a cultural dimension. You can think like, whoa, this woman is so real, right? She's wow. I would like to have a very strong identity like this, and so we take that shortcut basically. And then four, there's confusion between identity, authenticity, charisma. And so the ego basically takes this on and solves the problem as a solution, we could say. I'll get into this in a minute. Now, one key element is that identity is not a mistake. It's something useful. It's not that identity is bad. It's not that, that it's a mistake of the universe or something. It's just that it's probably not something that you want to take to an extreme. And more interestingly, you can decide to disidentify from something and reconstruct identity around something else. So here, I write the word decision, you can make the decision to disidentify from something, from a specific feature in you that you want to phase out. For instance, if I'm impossible to live with, then because I get impatient and it's not at all my case, maybe this feature of impatience is something that I want to phase out. And so if I identify with this because my dad was impatient, I can, from the impulse of decision, I can decide to disidentify from impatience and to work on this. And you are doing this every day. And then to reconstruct an identity around something else that you are interested in consciously. Yes? And so it's very important to understand that we can decide to disidentify and reconstruct an identity. And this is why I introduced this this idea of this art of disidentifying, because it's not easy. And why I say it's an art, and why isn't it easy? Because the ego can appropriate itself from that process. So in other words, you can be thinking that you are right now disidentifying from the big car polluting, blah, blah, blah. Yes. If we get back to that example that I was talking to at the beginning, but maybe what you are replacing this big truck with is another car that now is electric and has lithium batteries and da 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 da. And that can be a great decision, but maybe it is that you don't need that car. I'm giving that example because it's very present in conversation on lifestyle and all this, and it's a little bit schematic, but that's an example of, you know, you can re-identify with the electric car movement, for instance. But we know that collectively, it's not really about replacing all the cars in the planet by electric cars, but about rethinking mobility. Yeah, so that's an example of where this process of disidentification and reconstructing identity around a new product, for instance, can be taken over by the ego. And the main challenge here is that there's not really any literacy on this, or we don't learn this at school. What we learn at school is, we learn cultural heritage, for instance, in the form, in some countries, in some regions, we learn cultural heritage in the form of identity and with and alimented by nationalist feelings. And that's a very different game. That was a parenthesis, but in schools, this is something that we should probably learn. I don't know. I'm not going to put a demand on the system, but I think that if we learned and we're fluent with this art of disidentifying from what we want to phase out, and it's a whole different dynamic, because now we can enter the world of induction. And induction is something we're going to talk a lot about. I will just write one, it's not really an equation, but induction. So this process of influencing the other, but from a psychoanalytic perspective, we're talking about a very specific process that I want to treat with respect, and we will dedicate the right amount of time to this. But this, if you think of induction as changing or influencing the environment or the others around you, its function of your ability to disidentify from something you have in you. If you're putting out the demand, then your ability to disidentify is going to be directly linked to your ability to induce change in the other. Yeah. And so I will leave it here for today with maybe a couple of questions. So it's, again, I get back to that fundamental point we started with. Is if social and environmental demands are put out there, it's very important to realize that they involve demands on the other to disidentify from something the other identified with, right? Maybe built a whole life, a whole story around, you know, in family, with friends. Oh yeah, he's the guy working at BP and successful and da 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 da. And now there's a demand to phase out fossil fuels and to, you know, so it involves a lot of different processes of disidentification for a lot of people. And I think remembering this is very important because can we ask someone, can I demand you that you disidentify from something? Does it really work like this? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Let me know what you think. From what have I disidentified in the last year? That's a good question you can ask yourself. What's the next thing I need to disidentify from because it's blocking my growth, it's blocking my resilience, it's leading me always in this kind of, in this impasse. And do I have another question here? No, I think that's a good one to to land here. From what have I disidentified in 2020? Let me know your thoughts. You can follow Cosmic and the content from the Cosmic School on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, and on our podcast channel. Let me know your thoughts. hello@cosmic.show for an email. And I'll speak to you very soon. Maybe with more on the art of disidentifying. Thank you for your attention. Bye-bye.